We're on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and we are 9 lines down from the top. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Kohen Gadol Shaharages HaNefesh Lo Yisas Kapo. The Gemara is picking up on the pasuk that we just learned in Yeshaya Novi, says Uve Frishchem Ufrischem Kapechem Alim Einai Mikem, and this is a reference to Nesias Kapayim of the Kohen. And Rabbi Yochanan says that we derive from this pasuk that a Kohen that killed a Nefesh is Lo Yisas Kapov. He's completely disqualified from Nesias Kapayim, because the pasuk says Uvefrischem Kapechem Alim Einai Mikem Gam Ki Tarbu Tchila Tfila Eineni Shomea. And the end of the pasuk says Yadechem Domim Olehu. So in other words, when you are involved in a Nesias Kapayim to be Mevar Klal Yisrael, the Torah says, I'm not going to listen to you. Why? Because Yedechem Domim Molehu, because you have Dam on your hands. And that means that a person who is guilty of murder. Now, what kind of a murder are we talking about? Are we talking about a Shogeg or a Mezid? And this is a discussion in the Rishonim, but it's quite clear that we're talking even about a Kohen that Shaharig B'Shogeg. And in the case of Rotzeach, we have a possibility of doing tshuva, especially in the case of a Kohen Shaharig B'Shogeg. Again, this is a long discussion. This is perfect for an Ian Shia. What would be a Kohen who killed B'Ones, not even B'Shogeg. There was no negligence. Let's say he was even involved in a mitzvah. He was at war. In any event, that's a subject unto itself. Now we go back to Rabbi Lazar. We had a whole series of statements of Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Lazar is now going to analyze the pasuk Gam ki sarbus vila eineni shomea. Miyom shechar beis hamigdash ninalu shari tfila. From the moment of the Churban Abayis, our tefillos cannot enter into the gates. The gates are locked up in Shamayim Shenemar, because the Navi, that's Yirmiyo in Echa, is lamenting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed us away at the time of the Churban, and the Pasuk says in Echa, Gam ki ezak vashavea sosam tefilosi. It means that the Navi has been moaning the fact that even when I cry out and I ask Hashem for salvation, nevertheless, God closes. The word sosam is usually written with a samach here. It's interpreted as if it was written with a samach. It's written with a sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sosam tefilasi. He closed it up. What does it mean he closed up? He locked up the shari tefila. Now, it doesn't mean that they're completely locked, but it means that we no longer have any guarantee that our tefillos are immediately accepted on high, but nevertheless, tefillah is still meaningful. Now, when the tzibur davens 3 times a day, that's called an eis ratzon, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly listens to our tefillos. But when we're davening as a yachid, each individual alone, then it's sasam tefilasi. Now, sasam tefilasi is a halach in Tisha B'Av as well. A special halach in Tisha B'Av that we take the paroches off the aron, and there are other minhagim that we have in terms of what we daven on Tisha B'Av, and all that is a reflection of this pasuk in Eicha Sosam Tfilasi. But in general, we're talking the whole year round now. Ninalu Shari Tfila. V'yafal pisha Shari Tfila. Ninalu, says the Gemara, to calm us down. Shari Dma'a lo Ninalu. So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still listening to our cries if we are crying. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Shima, this is in Tillim, Shima Sfilasi Hashem Vishavasi Azina El Dimasi Al Techrash Kigera Nochimach, etc., etc. And God is listening to my prayers. He's hearkening to my cries, my supplications, and he's not deaf, so to speak, to my tears. Now, it's interesting. With regard to tefillah, David HaMelech is asking about Shmiah, that God should hear Shama, Shima Tfilasi. Hashem should hear it. When it gets to Dima, he doesn't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see the tears. That would be the parallel of listening to our tefillah, but rather only that our tears should be accepted in front of him. He should not be totally cold, so to speak, and unreceptive to our tears. And what that means is that our dima, our cries, our tears are always seen in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. We have to now be mavakish with our tefillah that God should accept our dima. He sees our dima that we have, but now we have to pray that he should accept our dima and all the crying and all the emotions and all the requests that we have. David HaMelech is being mavakish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should hear our tefillos. He should remove or alleviate us of our punishments and our sufferings. And lo yechras, he shouldn't be cherish, like he shouldn't be deaf to our cries, but rather he should see our tears and hopefully allow them to enter into his, you know, his treasury of responses of tefillah. In other words, in tefillah, we need two conditions to be met. Number one, that tefillah should come in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and number two, that he should have ritzui, he should want to receive and accept and hearken to our prayers. From the day of Churban HaBayis and on, our tefillah is not even it doesn't even appear in front of him, because the Shari tefillah have been locked, so the tefillahs don't penetrate through the Shari tefillah. But Dima, at least, is seen in front of him. And now we're asking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mekayim, the second condition that we want to achieve, that he will be Misratze to receive our Dima. And Chazal say on this Shari Dima Lo Ninalu that the Lashon Al Techrash means that even in the future, David HaMelech is saying he's absolutely reliant on HaKadosh Baruch that he won't be deaf to our dmos. And elsewhere Chazal describe how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special place where he collects our tears. Many of our tefillos, especially for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, reflect this idea. Now the Gemara tells us about Rava, and this is again relating to the locking of the Shari tefillah. Rava, when he felt a need to decree a public fast day for crying out to Hashem for tefillos on the tzaros, lo gozar ta'nisa b'yom de'iva, on a cloudy day he would not decree today is a fast day, he would delay it. He saw something in the clouds that was, so to speak, a sima min ha-shamayim, mishum she-nemar, based on a pasuk again in Eicha, when the Navi is lamenting the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not accepting our tefillos. Sakosa be'anon loch me'avor tefila. The word sakosa here is like an anan that has a musak. It's like a veil that conceals or sets up a separation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, so that our tefila will not penetrate. Therefore, on a cloudy day, Rava saw it as a sima min shamayim, that this is the clouds represent or manifest this sakosa benon loch me'avar tefila, that our tefilos will not be able to penetrate through these clouds. And all this is conceptual, it's all symbolic. I don't mean to say that it's not to be taken literally, but I mean to say this, the idea that the clouds themselves, ki'ilu, prevent our tefilos from going on high, that's more of an abstract idea. It's more of what we call a simon klola. It's indicative of a shas adin. Like in Mishlei Perek Chofei, it says, nesiim v'ruach v'geshem ayin. But again, a day of rain, not a day of clouds, that's considered eis rachamim v'ratzon. But the Ramban and I don't know about the Ramban, but at least the Yavetz, Rav Yaakov Emden, writes that Rava would not decree a fast day unless there were no clouds at all in the sky. Again, the Anan is not physically preventing our tefillos from going on high, but it's a siman that Hashem, is telling us this is not an Eis Ratzon, this is not a good time. There's divine anger. We've spoken on many occasions in the Agadah throughout Brachos about the Shas Zam, the Shas Kas. So if we're talking about a Tainus, you know, a Tainus is a day in which we ask for divine compassion. This bad sign of the cloudy day tells us to postpone the Tainus. Now, there's a discussion here in the Poskim, the Shalah and others, about other Tainios, not the case of a Tainus for Geshem, for a drought when there's no rain coming out, but there may be other plagues and so forth and so on. Does the Anan form a symbol for all, you know, it's a bad omen for any Tainus? There should be no Tainus that was enacted or established on a day that's Ma'unan. In the footnote here, he quotes the Shalah. The Shalah says, the Gemara doesn't mean Yom Tainus Atzmo, Shari Shakova Ravis Yom HaTainus, Minayin Lo Shehu Asid Lios Yom HaMe'unan. Meaning, Rava would establish a Tainus with at least a little forewarning. He didn't say today is a Tainus. He said tomorrow or the day after, a week from today, we'll observe a Tainus. So how did he know that it was be a Yom HaMe'unan? So that's not what the Gemara means, but the Gemara really means that the day that Rava saw that there is a reason, a need for a Xeris Tainus, on that day itself, Rava sensed that, as if he had begun a Tainus, he sensed that if the clouds were there, then he should think about postponing the Tainus. Amar Rav Elazar, Yom Shachar Beis Hamikdash Nifsika Chomas Barzel Ben Yisrael Avim Shibah Shemayim. We have to read this Gemara with tears in our eyes, that from the day of the Churban, there's a Chomas Barzel, a very strong barrier made of metal that separates Klal Yisrael from their Father in Heaven. Shenemar, this is Yechezkel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yechezkel Anovi before the Churban Abayis that he should make a tzura, he should be chokek a tzura. This is a way of demonstrating the prophecy in a real sort of way. And this tzura should look like the city of Yerushalayim with a siege upon it or around it. And Hashem commands Yechezkel, V'ato kach lecha machvas barzel v'nasato sa kir barzel b'incha b'na ir. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yechezkel to make a kir of barzel, a metal wall, a barrier between the tzura of the city of Yerushalayim, as if to say that this kir shel barzel is a siege around Yerushalayim. It's this is a siman to Bnei Yisrael that there's a barrier, a wall that's made of metal between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the people of Israel. And in a sense, Yechiel, When Yechezkel is doing this, he's standing and representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the Shliach of Hashem, he's the Novi Hashem, and he's telling the people that between you and I there'll be a Mechitzas Barzel. Amar Rav Chanina, kol amarech b'tfiloso. What does it mean? Here, it's a positive. Later on we'll see that marech b'tfiloso is a negative. Here it's a positive. Ein tefilaso chozeres reikam. It's going to be received on high. And what this means is that even though the Shari tefila have been locked after the Churban, but nevertheless it's not locked completely, as we said before. And we spoke about the Dmos, but now we're talking about a tefila arucha. Arucha is not only in terms of length, it's also in terms of depth. Minolan, how do we know such a thing? Me Moshe Rabbeinu, if we see it from Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu was marach b'tfila, and his tfila was accepted. Shenemar, and this is in Sefer Dvarim, when Moshe is reminding the people of Israel about his tfila on their behalf, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to punish them after the Egel, is v'espalel Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu testifies about himself that I prayed to God. Va'omar, here's a long tefillah. Adonai Elohim, al tashcheis amcha v'nachlasecha shepadiso begodlecha shehotzeiso mimitzrayim v'yokhazoka. And afterwards it says, Va'anochi amadeti b'har kayomim arishonim arboim yom v'arboim v'layla. Va'yishma Hashem elai gam v'apamahi v'lo avo Hashem hashchisecha. Moshe Rabbeinu was marach b'tefillah for no less than 40 days and 40 nights to prevent HaKadosh Baruch Hu from implementing his decision, his decree, in his anger of destroying the Jewish people. And at the end, after 40 days of consecutive prayer, Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer was accepted, and God decided not to destroy the Jewish people. The Gemara knows that there was an arichus of Tfilos Moshe from the fact that he was the Marech for 40 days and 40 nights until finally he got a positive response. And when the Gemara brings the pasuk here, Vespalol Hashem Va'omar, this pasuk is not enough. It lo istapka gam rak ba'avos ha'pasuk ha'sheni. There are two psukim, and it's not enough to bring just the second pasuk. The second pasuk doesn't say that it was really tefillah. It just says Asher Amad Vanochi Amadati Bahar. It doesn't mention a word about tefillah. But if we take the two psukim in context and join them together, the first pasuk is about Vesnapal El Hashem, which means tefillah, and the second pasuk about the Arboim Yom V'Arboim Laila. So we see that this was an arichus tefillah for 40 days and 40 nights until Hashem accepted, received Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah on high. Eini, the Gemara says, isn't this a contradiction to a statement of Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, the Omar Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, called Amarach B'tefilosu Ma'ayin Ba Sof Bol Lidei Ke'ev Lev. So being Ma'arech in tefillah is not necessarily a positive feature of tefillah. But perhaps the answer lies in the words Uma'ayin Ba. Let's translate those words in this context. It means that he's waiting with bated breath, with anticipation, that since he was Marach B'Tefillah, Hashem should, so to speak, immediately grant his request, and he should see Tachlis, a response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not a good thing, when you immediately look around, where's the response? I davened with a great deal of fervor, of profound emotion, and at the end you'll be disappointed. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is telling me. It's Kave Lev. Shenemar Tocheles Mimushocha Machalo Lev. The word Tocheles here is Miloshan Chilui and Tefillah, as we saw by Chal Moshe's Tefillah. It means that if somebody is davening a tefillah mimusheches, that's what the Pasuk Mishlei is talking about. It's an ongoing tefillah. And he thinks for sure God will snap his fingers and grant his every request. And guess what? He sees that God did not grant his request, and he's going to be in a state of ke'ev lev, because a person who has an anticipation and the reality doesn't pan out for his anticipation, that creates a tremendous amount of pressure and anguish. So Rabbi Yochanan asks, "Mai takante?" So what does a person do? On the one hand, we say that we advocate Marach B'Tfilas, we saw by Moshe Rabbeinu. On the other hand, we don't want him to come through our Harach HaSfil to Kave Lev. So Rabbi Yochanan's solution to this problem is Yasok B'Torah. As a result, as a reward for his Esek B'Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu will fulfill his request, and he will avoid the Kave Lev. He won't have some sort of false, empty anticipation. Shenemar, at the end of that very same pasuk, it says, V'Yitzchayim Tava Ba'a. We know that Yitzchayim is always a symbolic term that refers to the Torah itself. Ein Yitzchayim el Torah, Shenemar on the pasuk of Mishlei. Yitzchayim ilamach zikim bo, v'somcheo miyushar. So we learn that if a person is studying the Yitzchayim, meaning the Torah, then Tavo Tavaso. What does it mean, Tavo Tavaso? All his desires, his needs will be fulfilled. So we see from Rabbi Yochanan that a person who's Marach B'Tfilah, his Tfilah is not Miskabeles. All he has to do now, the only way of he can make a takana, get out of this quandary, is by dedicating himself to Torah study. But that doesn't jive with what we said before in the name of Rabbi Chanina, that kol amar p'tfiloso ain't tfiloso choseres reikom. Lo kasha ha demarech uma ayin ba verha demarech veloma ayin ba. When a person is ma'ayin, he finishes his tefillah, and he expects that immediately there will be a fulfillment of his bakasha. And that's called ma'ayin ba. Ma'ayin ba means he looks and he with bated breath, where is it? And he's going to be disappointed. Because such a situation of ma'ayin ba is highly not recommended. And it means shlosha dvar maskirin avonosa shel adam. One of them in the Gemara later on is iyun tefila. When a person thinks, "Wow, I know I have the rights, I have the merits, I know I did the greatest tefila," he looks and he's this way and that way, waiting to with anticipation to see that his tefilos will be accepted and implemented immediately. So up in Shemayim, they're taking a look at his books. They're checking out if they're being mafash beish lamayla b'maisa to see if he really merits this kind of thing. And the same thing happens if he walks under a kir natui, which is a dangerous kind of situation. Or for example, if he was moser din al shemayim al chavero, he says bad things about his friend to shemayim. Om rab chama. Don't give up hope if you didn't have an immediate response from Hashem, if God didn't grant you your request. Don't get into a state of yeish, of despair. There's a repetition in this pasuk, which means that even after he's makave, that he has this hope and optimism that through his tefillah on the first round, God will listen. But he sees, unfortunately, disappointedly, that God did not accept his tefillah. Nevertheless, chazak v'yamei subech v'kavei l'shem, a second kave. And that second kave means to continue davening. So davening is a continuous action, non-stop. It's an involvement that goes on and on and on. There's never enough tefillah. One should never desist from tefillah and terminate his tefillah. Keep going on. That's the nature of tefillah. Now, the Bali Kabbalah say that even if his tefillahs weren't responded to, but they're up in heaven and they're going to make an impact. Maybe not in your lifetime, maybe in generations to come. But this is the Kavi El Hashem twice in the same pasuk, Kavi El Hashem. Indicating that if your tefillah wasn't answered on the first round, keep going. That is called Yachzor v'yispalel. It's interesting that we daven three times a day, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, and the three times a day might be indicative of the fact that we're constantly involved in tefillah. It's Yachzor v'yispalel, non-stop, b'li herif. It's a little bit similar to vidui, especially on Yom Kippur. You know, we're always involved in vidui on Yom Kippur. Once, twice, thrice, 10 times, one after the other. And tefillah, as we said, is ongoing, three times a day, excuse me, is indicative of ongoing, of a continuous mitzvah tedira. And the Shagasari is of the opinion that women are obligated in three tefillahs a day, meaning a woman, no less than a man, needs this continuous tefillah. Now, Kriyat Shema is twice a day, but it's B'shal B'chov Kumech. That also seems to indicate that it's a continuous mitzvah. Now we have a Braisa that is going to interpret the Pasuk Kavi El Hashem. And the Braisa says the following, Tonu Rabbanan, Arba Tzrichim Chizuk. There are four cases where a person needs chizuk, that he should give it all his energy. V'elu hein, Torah, masim tovim, tefillah, v'derech eretz. Derech eretz means if a person has a profession or anything else that a person is usually osek ba, And now the Braisa tells us the source for each one of these four. Torah, Umaisim Tovim, Minayin, how do we know these? Nechizik, Shenemar, in Yoshua, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yoshua after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu Kak, Chazak, Ve'ematz, Ma'od, Lishmor V'lasos, Bechol HaTorah, Shetzivcha, Moshe Avdi. Al Tassur, Mimeni, Yominu Smol, etc., etc., and the double language here, Chazak ve'ematz. Chazak, says the Gemara, is Chizuk b'Torah. And Umama ematz is Chizuk in Maisim Tovim. And these are the two things that need constant psych yourself up, you know, inject more and more energy. Just try hard to make it exciting, to propel yourself for more Torah learning, for more Maisim Tovim. And then, Tefillah Minayin. How do we know that a Tefillah needs Chizuk? Shenemar Kavei El Hashem Chazak V'yam Yitzubech V'kavei El Hashem. In other words, the double language is V'yametz Libecha, meaning Imutz, Ametz, Ma'amatz. Put a lot of work into Tefillah. It's not a simple matter. Don't just mumble the words. Don't just read the text. Derech Eretz Minayin, how do we know that Derech Eretz needs Chizuk? Again, before we said that Derech Eretz was Umnus Shal Adam, Shenemar Poskin Shmuel Beis, when Yoav, the Saratsov of David, who is also the brother of Avishai, went out to battle against Aram and the Bnei Ammon, Yoav turns to Avishai, his brother, and he says to him, Chazak v'nischazek bi'ad amenu v'ad or elokeinu v'ashem yasa tov bi'enov. In other words, the Anshei HaMelchoma need chizuk for their melchoma. They have to be psyched out with a new force of energy, energized in a passionate way. And so too, every single person needs chizuk for Derech Eretz. He's an Uman for his Umnus, he's a socher for Schora, and he needs chizuk. And the reason why he needs chizuk, says the Ralbag, l'fisha ein roi li odom lismoch al anes el olav lishtadel b'midas efshari v'oz yazor lo Hashem b'masov. In other words, he's got to be mishtadel. This is what we call ishtadlus. And he doesn't rely on miracles, on supernatural events. He is mishtadel. Now, since the Gemara earlier mentions the fact that there was Ritzui, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nisratze after the Chet HaEgel, the Gemara now darshens an additional pasuk in that context, which is part of the Divrei Nechamos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Klal Yisrael with words of consolation. Vatomer, this is in Yeshaya, of course, Vatomer Tzion, Azovani Hashem, Vashem Shechechoni. This pasuk is a bit strange because it says Azovani Hashem, and then it says Vashem Shechechoni. That's a repetition. Hainu Azuva, Hainu Shchuva. What's the difference between Azuva and Shchuva? That the pasuk would have to mention both. What's the double language? So Omar Reish Lakish. The Gemara quotes an answer in the name of Reish Lakish. Kach Omro Knesset Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam. It's natural in the universe. Adam Nosei Isha Al Ishta Rishona. When he loses his first wife Nebuch and he marries his second wife, Zocheres Ma'isa Rishona. He cannot forget his first wife. It's still very much ingrained in his memory. And this is a reflection of what the Gemara speaks about in Sanhedrin, a whole sugya there about first marriages and second marriages, and it says Lakol Yesh Tmura Chutz Mi Eishes Niurim, his first wife. So many mamorim over there about the special mila of Ishto Harishona. Adam Nosei Ishal Ishto Harishona Zocheres Maisa Rishona. He hasn't forgotten the actions of his first wife. Ata, here's the Nimshal. And here's the prayer of Yeshayahu Anovi. Ata Azavtani. And not only that, Shchachtani. That's even worse than what happens in the case of Ishto Rishona. Asavtani is one thing, but now Shachtani? In other words, we see here that the Taina of Tzion is a double Taina. And there's a special Taina about Shichacha, as if to say that God has forgotten the Jewish people. So the Gemara now quotes the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Knesset Yisrael when they think, Chas v'Shalom Azovani. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu biti shnei masar mazolos. Now, this Gemara is going to go into an entire description. We really need almost a little bit of a diagram for this. I don't have such a diagram to show you, but there's a need for a diagram with numbers. This is all to take a look at the celestial spheres that God created up in the heavens. First, there's Shneimasar Mazolos. That's number one. And by the way, it's interesting that Biti is a reference to Tzion. Tzion is called a Bas. You know, this is a remez that the Shekhinah is with Klal Yisrael, even in Golus, like a loving father. So the Shneimasar Mazolos, there are 12 groups or galaxies of stars up in the heavens, Barasi Barakia, V'al Kol Mazal Masa. So we got to round one. We now have 12 galaxies. And now, Al Kol Mazal Mazal, each one of these 12 galaxies, Barasi Lo Shloshim Chayel, which means something called Chayel. Again, there are so many names here in this description. We start with Mazolos and then we go to Chayel. These are Sarim, somehow celestial officers. And every one of the Mazolos, there are 12 altogether, they're assigned 30 Sarim. 30 Sarim that are called Chayel. And they, in turn, are appointed to oversee the various groups of Kochavim. So these are very high offices in the pyramid of the Mazolos. In the pyramid, we're going down from the 12 Mazolos to Shloshim Chayel. Each one of the 12 Mazolos is assigned 30 Chayel, right? 30 Roshi Geisos, it says in Hebrew, Vechaburos Chalukos. Now, we're up to each chayel now, right? So we've multiplied 12 times 30, and now we're up to each one of the 30. Is Barasilo Shloshim Ligyon. Again, there are Sarim up in Shamayim, which are called Ligyon, which is another way of saying legions, or maybe thinkers. I'm not sure exactly. There's no clarification here in Rashi that I can see offhand. Do you see any Rashi here? It says Ligyon. Just says Shema Shel Sarava. I guess these are different names of celestial officers. Now we have 30 chayel per mazel, and now each one of the 30 mazel chayels have shloshim ligyon. So again, the number 30. So we have 30 chayel, and then we have 30 ligyon. But that's not the end of the story. I'll call ligyon, but ligyon barasi lo shloshim riaton. Again, a kind of a supervisory sar in the officer's position, and he is designated to certain different chaluka, kvutzos chalukos in the machne haligyon. In any event, we're down one notch. The riaton are sarim that are on a lower level than the ligyon. I'm sorry. What I meant to say was riaton is on a lower level than ligyon. And I'll call Riaton, Barasilo, Shloshim, Kirton. That's even Sarim that are, you know, even a lower Madriga than Riaton. The I'll call Kirton, Vikirton, Barasilo, Shloshim, Gistava, which are Sarim, Pchusim, B'mailo. And they were in charge of groups like Machne HaKitron. V'al kol gisro, gisro, tolisa bo shlosh meos v'shishim v'chamish alfei ribo kol chavim keneged yimos hacham v'kulun lo barosi el b'shvilech v'yato amarto azavtoni ushachtoni. How could it be? In other words, since this entire creation was for the purpose of Yisrael, kulum lo barosi el b'shvilech, therefore, how can you talk about shichicha? You know, if God forgot, so to speak, the ultimate teleological purpose of this entire fantastic creation with all its details and nuances, it's all for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, if it's all b'shvilech, then you can't talk about shichicha, because God created this very complex universe up in the celestial spheres. And it doesn't make any sense that if God possibly would chas v'shalom ignore the Jewish people, I mean, he'd have to recreate the entire world. Now, the Achronim asked the following question. Ketzad, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu prove that this entire Bria, for the fact that Bria is for the sake of Klal Yisrael, shelo azavtom v'shachacham? You know, it could be that at the beginning of the Bria, God was motivated for the sake of the people of Israel, but afterwards, azvam vosir es habria al kena. Perhaps God at that point discontinued his relationship to this world. Now he quotes here a sefer called the Yei Hayam, shekavonas HaKadosh Baruch Hu lomar shehabria mutemet litzorchei Yisrael. The entire bria reflects a relationship to the needs of Klal Yisrael. Yud Beis Mazolos and Keneged Yud Beis Shvatim. V'chol Mazol Mechulak L'Shloshim Keneged Yimos Halavana. Interesting. The lunar calendar. It's not always 30, but V'shiva Mine Sraga. We'll mention the names. Mazol Chil Ligyon, Rahaton, Karton, Gistera, Kochavin. Fine. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he were to leave Klal Yisrael out of the picture, then, as we said before, the Briyas Mut'emes Li Yisrael, Tzarchi Yisrael. Right, Yud Beis Mazolos, as we said, Keneged Yud Beis Shvatim, and the 30 is Keneged the Most Alavana, and it goes on and on. Seven Keneged the seven categories of Sarara, and it also corresponds to the 7 days of the week that culminate in Shabbos. So we have to observe the Shabbos. So the proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not forsake his people or ignore his people and alienate them is from the fact that the universe keeps going on and on. Ein chadosh tachta shamesh. So what happened last year happens again this year with all the 12 mazolos and the 30 and the 30 chels and so forth and so on. This is all in a sense fixed in stone. I don't mean it has to be fixed in stone, but I mean to say it's going to continue as is. Now here he makes a comment. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ilu Ayisi Ozev Yisrael. If as you approached it, or if you thought of it that way, that I left Klal Yisrael out of the picture. Well, Shuva. Just one second. Look, came over because Ilu Ayisi Shuva Hashem Rivos Alfei Yisrael. And that's the Pasuk, Alfei Yisrael. Alfei Yisrael, Alfei Ribui, is connected Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them, if I would have left or forsake the people of Israel, I would have to change the entire Tzuras HaBriya. Because the Tzuras HaBriya I created is a reflection of the needs. It answers the needs of Klal Yisrael. Now, it's not clear that the Pasuk indicates that this was the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does it say in the Pasuk that God addresses Tzion, and this is what he says? But later on, the Gemara is going to have a drasha from the next Pasuk with a different response that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Tzion. But maybe because it says, Vatomer Tzion Azvani Hashem Vashem Shechacheni, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Tzion something that would, in a sense, disprove their thesis or their assumption. Fine. Now the Gemara continues and darshins the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hasishkach Isha Ula. In other words, Ula is a reference to an Ola, carbon Ola. And Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klum Eshkach Es Olos Elim Es Pitrei Rechamim Shekravt Lefonai Bamidbar. So we're talking about the karbonos that were brought in the Midbar. Number one, we're talking about the olos. Number two, we're talking about the elim. And number three, we're talking about pitrei rechamim. And these were all different kinds of karbonos that were brought in the Mishkan. Pitrei rechamim is a reference to bechoros of behema, behemas bechor. Shekravtam, ikravt lefanai, Bamidbar. I will not forget all of what you did, your entire service, the karbanos. The Gemara now wants to darsh in the next part of the pasuk. Omra lefanov. Now Knesset Yisrael is responding. Ribono shel olam, ho yelvien shechol lefnei chiseich vodecha. We saw that you don't forget anything. So for sure you're not going to forget the karbanos that Tzion, that the children of Israel brought Lefanecha in the dire straits of the wilderness of the Midbar. Therefore, Eshema lo tishkach li maaseh ha'egel. You know, since there's no such thing as Shichacha in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, then God is not going to forget the maaseh ha'egel. It's constantly in front of his eyes. This Amar La, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Tzion in this pasuk in Yeshaya, and he says, "Gam Elasi Sishkachna." I'm going to forget the sin of Klal Yisrael. So the Ela here is an allusion to the Ela Elohecha Yisrael in Parshas Ki Tisa at the point that the Jewish people worshipped the Egel. And on this sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he will forget that sin for Klal Yisrael, he will grant them Slicha Mechila. So the Gemara now darshins in the next pasuk, Amr lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, Ho v'yesh shicha lefnei chvodecha, Hishema tishkach li maise Sinai. Since there's no such thing as shichacha in front of the Kisei HaKavod, since there is Shechachai, I meant to say, in front of the Kisei HaKavod, because it says, Gam Eilat Sishkachna, as we saw before, is then maybe Chas V'Sholem, the divine being will forget the good things about Klal Yisrael. Till now we're talking about forgetting sin and granting Mechila. Now we're going to talk about remembering the Maimon Har Sinai. Because at Maimon Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael, 3 million strong, accepted upon themselves to fulfill the Torah, and they declared Nasa V'Nishma. So therefore, Shema Tishkach Li Maise Sinai? Amar Lei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Moshe Rabbeinu's question, V'Anochi Lo Eshkachech. I will never forget the Maise Sinai. And the remez to this is the word Vanochi, which is the first word in the Aseres HaDibros. So it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he himself, Kach Posach Es Aseres HaDibros Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And this is conveying the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not forget Klal Yisrael and all the great moments and glorious moments, for example, at Har Sinai. V'hainu di Omer Rav Lazar, Omer Rav Oshaya, Ma'idichsiv, what is the pasuk being gam? Eila Sish Kachna, Zem Aisa HaEgel. And again, it's because the word Eila, because in the Ma'aseh Eglah it says Eilel, Elohech Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch is going to forget the sin of the Egel. And therefore the next pasuk says, V'anochi lo eshkachech ze Ma'aseh Sinai. Because the word Anochi, as we said, is indicative of the first of the Aser Sedivros, and HaKadosh Baruch is not going to forget that for Israel either. So he'll forget the Ma'aseh Egel, but not Ma'aseh Sinai. And here we have a Lashon of Hainu the Omer Ablozer. We don't have it in our text. Hainu the Omer Ablozer. The Gemara is clarifying the words of Ablozer, the name of Rav Yoshia. Now, what did Rav Yoshia add over here? It's mamish, you know, like the Gemara said before. What is he adding? So if he does a chiddush here, he writes that b'divrei Rabbi Yoshia lo nizbayer madua hikdim hakosav es ma'aseh egel ma'aseh Sinai. Halo cheta egel hayoli achar ma'amid ha'Sinai. He says, no. You know what Rav Yoshia is saying? Shekein kach hi avikuach ben Knesset Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means, that there's a disagreement, a debate between... Just one second. Okay, so let's go over this one more time. What we're saying is that Rav Yoshia is adding, according to Chidah, the following. Why this reversal, as far as this, you know, the historical sequence of the Ma'aseh Egel coming before the Ma'aseh of Sinai, when Chet Egel was after Ma'amid Har Sinai. So the answer is that Kachaya Vikuach ben Knesset HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tchilas shalo al Ma'aseh HaEgel v'achkach al Ma'aseh Sinai. So it's not clear exactly why that sequence is bedafka. All right, Rabbi Yosef, at this point we can go back to the Mishnah and we'll see about Hasidim Rishonim Yeshovim Shah Achas. They would delay that tefillah for 1 hour. They were located right there, ready to daven, but they would wait an hour. Minani Mili, from whence do we derive that it's not just Hasidim Rishonim, but it's something that we should also imitate, that we should wait and delay for a tefillah? Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Oh, my crow, we learn it from a pasuk in Tehillim. Ashrei Yoshev Secho. The emphasis here is on the word Yoshve. You know, first it's got to be Ashrei Yoshev Secho, and then it's Yahalucha. So the yeshiva is interpreted as Shihui, which means he leaves it for the next few minutes. You know, so he's thinking and contemplating in many different ways that we spoke about in order to get himself psyched out for tefillah. And then after Yoshve, after he sits for a while, then Yahalucha, then he's ready to be Bahala and be Mispal in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, furthermore, HaMispal Tzorch Lishol Shah Achas Achat Tfilos. It's not enough that he delays his tefillah by one hour. He has to also sandwich it between the first hour and a second hour. Shenemar, how do we know this? Again, we're back to Tillim again. Ach tzadikim yodu l'shmecha. Yeshvu yeshorim esponecha. In other words, b'tchilo modim l'shmo. V'achach yoshvim l'fonov. So it's after the hodol l'shmo, then he has to sit down and be shor l'fonov. Tanya nami hochi. And that's how we learned in a brisa, Hamispal tzor shi yishe sho achas kodem tvilos sho achas liachar tvilos so kodem tvilos minayin shnemar asher yoshvei secho hu liachar tvilos so minayin tchsiv ach tzadikim yodu lishmecho yeshvu yishar mesponecho. And now the Gemara is going to go on and talk about the shehiya before tefillah and after tefillah, the chassidim rishonim, and this Amirtz Hashem will be able to pick up tomorrow when we discuss this shehiya both in the Bavli and also in the Yerushalmi. Could you imagine we're talking about 1 hour of tefillah times three and 2 hours times three of preparation, all told 9 hours a day for tefillah. Wow, that's amazing.